good to see you this morning. Appreciate you taking time out of your morning to be here and worship with us. Thank you, Ken, for reading our scripture this morning, and Jerry, for those songs that you led. They all really kind of focusing in on who God is and how important it is for us to be reconciled with Him. It's really hard to live in a politically correct world. Living in a politically correct world has a social standard and not a godly standard. Whatever the current whim is dictates the correctness of the situation. Sometimes we even do things to devalue the name of sin so it's not as offensive. We say things like, well, it was just a little lie. Or we call it a white lie. Sometimes we refer to a lie as a fib. And sometimes we say things like that. Well, they told a story. A lie seems so harsh. Liar. I can't call someone a liar. I can't call someone out. Wasn't it just a little lie? A little white lie? A fib? That the serpent told Eve. The serpent says, you will not surely die. Genesis 3:4. But Eve had just said what God said. You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. I always found that very interesting, that not only were they not supposed to eat of it, they were not even supposed to touch it. Keep away. Don't handle it. The serpent tried to change things up a little bit. He deceived her with, oh, you surely won't die. For your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. Lies hurt people. But the truth about the lie is it separates us from God. It's time for the church to see sin for what it really is, a separation between us and God. It's important for us to deal with our sin. You know, it's like people are walking around with this mindset. Whatever happened to sin, anyway? Because in the eyes of some, that doesn't exist anymore. It's because we've adopted new definitions for sin. And therefore, they are not considered sins anymore. Let's just look at sexual sin, homosexuality, living together outside of marriage, and adultery. These are no longer considered socially as sins, but alternative lifestyles. You see, that's not a godly way of thinking. That's the perception of sin. This sounds like the mentality we see in the book of Judges, where it says, the text says, that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. The church is faced with a challenge of dealing with issues today. And the question is, what shall our stance on sin be? Let's take a look at some of the stances that we could take. And that first stance is, we may try to ignore sin. 1 Samuel 3:11 through 13, God spoke to Samuel as a boy and told him about Eli's punishment. Eli knows about his son's sin. And his sons made themselves vile before God. What were they doing wrong? Why was Eli going to be punished? Verse 13 of that text says, because he did not restrain them. Oh, he knew about it. He even confronted them about it and said, it's not right what you do, my sons. But God told Samuel, he does not restrain them. Earlier in the text tells us that they were doing wrong. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, God says, they did not know the Lord. And they would cheat God out of the offering, and they would cheat and steal the one bringing the sacrifice through intimidation. And in verse 22, they would even lay with the women that came to the tabernacle. Eli didn't restrain them. He didn't take care of business. He was in a position to do something about it, obviously, but all he did was rebuke them. In that text tells us we cannot ignore sin. We cannot abide in it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul condemns the Corinthians because they were being accepting of sexual sin in their midst. They were not only ignoring it, but some of them were actually puffed up and bragging about it. Like, look at us. Kind of sounds like the things we do today, doesn't it? Why, we're accepting of this and we're tolerant of this. They ignore it. Paul gave specific instructions on how to deal with this sin, what they were to do about it, and what their attitude about sin was to be. What's our attitude about sin? Well, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. See, the church has to stand up for what is right. We have to stand up for what sin really is. It's a separation from God. And if the church doesn't do that, who's going to do it? Nobody. See, we stand on the foundation of godly principles, what God teaches. James 1:16, James says, don't be deceived about sin. Sin is ultimately death and separation from God. So don't be deceived about sin. Don't be fooled by what the world says is acceptable. Don't be deceived. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Our stance cannot be to ignore sin. We must deal not only with our own sin, but we must point out sin. But there's a second stance that we might take, and we may also consider some may participate in sin because that seems like the better choice. But this shows no conviction and no courage, and it shows no sacrifice on our part. Why do people choose to accept sin or continue in sinful living? Well, Jesus' own words in John chapter 3, 19 to 21 says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. You see, we need to be honest about sin. We need to be willing to expose the light on sin and therefore be willing for the light to expose us so that the world can see our deeds are done in God. Sin cannot be participated in. Jesus says that those people are evil. I think we shun away from saying that. That people that are in sin are evil. Why, we ourselves at one time were evil. Before we knew the graciousness of God and before we put on Christ in baptism and we accepted the things that God teaches us. And we repented of our wrongdoing. We recognized sin for what it was, a separation between us and God. And we didn't want that anymore. You see, we wanted to be in Christ Jesus so that our sins could be dealt with properly. Why are we so afraid of dealing with sin? We're afraid to tell somebody that they're caught in sin, but yet if a little kid ran down the street, we would be quick to say, watch out, or run out after them and intervene, wouldn't we? It's because our mindset on the flesh is all wrong. You see, we're not living towards the future. We're not living a life that's geared towards heaven because we put more stake in the flesh than we do eternity. Why do people choose to participate in sinful living? It's because their deeds are evil. You know, we can be misled about sin. Moses warned Israel in Exodus 23:2 that the folly of being swayed by the crowd to follow after sin. See, we can't participate in sin. The crowd will lead us astray. Society will tell us that it's okay to accept these alternate lifestyles, but that's not what God's Word teaches us. You see, the world thinks that because we say something is not right in the sight of God, that that's hateful and intolerant. But the truth is that we care because God cares about the condition of mankind. You know, if we know somebody that's caught up in sin, are we supposed to go up there and just beat them up and ridicule them and make them feel whole? No, we approach them with what God teaches about, you know, there's a Savior, Jesus, and that God used Jesus to reconcile Himself to us because of our sinful living and our sinful past. God loved the world that He sent Christ Jesus, and our attitude about sin should be that we hate the sin and want to help those who are caught up in sin. See, not only can we not ignore sin and we can't participate in it, but there's a third stance. We can choose to compromise with the sinful world. You know, you stay on your side of the street and we'll stay on our side of the street, and you don't bother me and I won't bother you. But Jesus said in Luke 11:23, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather scatters." You see, we can't have that kind of attitude either. We can't compromise sinful with the sinful world. We just can't do it. Well, it doesn't seem like we can compromise. It doesn't seem like we can ignore. It doesn't seem like we can, well, what was the other point? Ignore it. We can't do those things. But what we can do is we can choose to stand and fight the good fight. We can stand for the truth. Let's look at some of those who were given the responsibility to stand up for God and the choices that they made. God charged the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 58:1, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell the people of their transgressions." You see, we can't ignore sin. We've got to talk about sin. We've got to be honest about sin in our own life and in the life we see around us. 1 Samuel 15:22 through 23, the man of God, Samuel, confronts Saul about his sin, and he says, "Does the Lord God delight in sacrifice more than obeying the voice of the Lord?" You see, Samuel confronted Saul. And in a glaring moment, John the Baptist told Herod, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Matthew 6:18. See, all these people faced a decision. Stand with God and defend what God says, or draw back. Just these few examples, we see these men stood with God and spoke what God wanted. They made the hard choice, which we might say hard, But when we stand with God, no one else can oppose us. I mean, they may oppose us and say things like you're intolerant and you're not loving. But the truth is we love God more than we love what society is saying. And we want to deal honestly with sin. Because if we don't, if we're not honest about it, like James says, don't be deceived about it. It's going to produce death. And that death is separation from God. I don't want to live with a mindset like that, and I know that you don't either. We must remember that the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. I want you to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12, if you will. You know, it's important for us to realize that we have to deal with sin correctly. We have to realize that if we don't deal with sin, we're going to be separated from God. But because of the love of God and the love of Christ Jesus, that we need to have a different attitude about sin. And the Hebrew writer is doing a contrast with the old law and the new covenant with us as Christians. That in verse 18 he says, "For you have not come to the mountain that cannot be touched, or that may not be touched, that burned with fire, and to the blackness and the darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow." And so terrifying was the sight that even Moses said, "I am exceedingly afraid and trembling." But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, "Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." Now this "yet once more" indicates the removal of things that are being shaken, as of things that were made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. It's important for us to deal with sin. We can't ignore it. We can't compromise it. We must deal with sin. In light of, if not only that, what the text says about who Jesus is, about God, that, you know, those that were, the Hebrew writer already said Israel, when they heard the word of God, they were rebellious. They refused to listen. But we've got Jesus that makes men just, makes us perfect. If we deal with sin correctly, we can come to that mountain and not be afraid. We can come and we can have grace. We can have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. You see, if we ignore sin and compromise it and try to participate in it, and we try to do what the world says is okay, we're not going to be extended God's grace, because we have to deal with sin properly. We have to come to Jesus. We have to admit sin in our life. We have to confess it. And we have to repent of that sin. We have to steer clear of sin. Don't even touch it, let alone eat it. Don't mess around with sin. Take care of it. Don't let it stand. When we do those things, we are acceptably God because of Christ Jesus. His grace is extended to us. Isn't that wonderful? Makes no sense to not deal with our sin, does it? But it makes sense to stand with God and with the truth and what the Bible teaches. Then grace will be extended to us. And we'll be acceptable to God. If you stand with the world, you can't stand with God. If you choose to withdraw and not deal with sin or point sin out to someone's life, you can't stand with God. If you live in sin, you can't stand with God. Only when we respond to God in this way keeps us from even committing sin. John tells us it's not that we're not going to commit sin, it's that we don't want to. Ken read that for us, 1 John chapter 3, 4 through 9. See, if we're honest about sin, we're going to be able to stand honest before Christ Jesus. And Jesus is going to extend grace to us, and we're going to be acceptable to God. See, it makes no sense to stand with the world because we can't stand with God. But instead, let's stand with God and expose sin for what it is, evil. This is kind of a hard lesson, I think, when you think about the importance of dealing with sin in our lives. We've got to deal with sin. This morning, if you haven't dealt with sin in your life, I encourage you, we have an opportunity to come forward, to have the prayers of the church that we can help build you up, help strengthen you, to identify sin and to deal with it correctly. And we can be blameless before God if we deal with sin the way God says to. Blameless. I want to stand before God blameless. I want to be able to stand before God in truth and in the Spirit, knowing that Jesus is my mediator, knowing that I accept the sacrifice. I understand why He died, and I'm willing to be honest about that. If you're willing to do that this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing together? I must needs go.